Hello, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the Lois Effect. My name is Alisa.
My name is Liz. Hello.
Hello. So?
Yeah.
How is...
Yes. Thank you for asking. Yes. So, yes. So, very, very fortunately, my mother had a surgery on Friday and got a stent put in, and she had a leaky valve in a blocked artery. This could have been so much worse. I mean, this was like the most benign of scary. You don't ever want to go through this, but I'll take the most benign of scary. You don't want to go through this. And she's now home.
Good.
And yes, she's now home. And my sister and I have been taking turns. So I will see my mother again a little later today. And my mom is such a badass. We are strong healers, meaning rapid healers. Like, our bodies tend to heal rapidly, which is good. So I fully anticipate seeing a vast improvement in her from when I last saw her. And I'm very appreciative that I think a visiting nurse service will kick in very soon.
Good.
And yeah, I'm not huge into astrology at all, but I did see a post on Instagram that March is for this month of March will be no planets in retrograde, and that and that the energy this month is exceptional. And I have to say, I mean, I spent the whole month of February basically in a fetal position for many, many reasons. Mm-hmm. And yesterday was the first day that I started to feel slightly more grounded than I have in a very, very long time. So not that there's a magic wand and everything. Everybody's frolicking, you know, with the fairies and, you know, the gnomes. No, that's not happening. But I think they got busted for a sex party. But, you know, they weren't following Corona safe guidelines. But I do feel a little lighter and more grounded in the face of whatever's going on. And I'll take it. So that's a big relief. Thank you so much for asking. I appreciate it. And, you know, on whatever day it was, sometime last week, I was feeling very, very undone, very just ungrounded. And I never go on the database and pull a message for myself. It doesn't occur to me.
Right.
I never think, oh, let me pull a message for... And I was compelled to pull a message. And I felt this message was so perfect that I actually pasted it into my iCalendar so that I see this message every morning and I want to share it with you guys.
Please.
And then, yes, and the number, and I thought it was so perfect, and the number associated with this message, two-digit number, which is rare, and that's the number 31. And when I looked up that, I thought, well, so perfect, and this is the message. And the message is, as part of your journey of universal kindness through awareness, take a moment-to-moment approach to claim higher vibrational choices and words.
Wow.
And I'm like, damn. That is so perfect. And I don't think anyone's ever pulled that message. It was brand new to me.
Yeah, that doesn't sound familiar.
Although it was probably written 10 years ago, because I think these messages are about 10 or 11 years old now, which is crazy. Probably I started before I knew you guys.
Yeah.
I started the messages 12 years ago, but I kept going for like a year or two after that. And then I stopped because I had like 1,200. But I really like this message because I think it's such practical guidance, because if you are clear that your journey is about universal kindness, and how would we define universal kindness? There's so many ways that you could look at that. Kindness from the universe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Although the universe is impartial, but just receiving the kindness from the universe, because it's a benevolent, benign, beautiful energy, or just leading with kindness unconditionally, universally, just whether you are online to check out groceries or you're with a loved one or anything, or a job, anything else in between, just mindful to be kind to yourself, kind to others, and that the journey is universal kindness through awareness, while being aware is being present, being in the now, not being stuck in the past or being anxious about the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that to do that, we take a moment approach instead of trying to eat the entire buffet, right? A moment to moment, you know, pretend you're getting tapas served over time, which I love. Oh, now I want tapas. See, the other day I wanted donuts. Now I want tapas. Okay. moment approach. So just little bites, right? Little bites. And in that moment of approach, that's when you're claiming, because you're being mindful, you're taking responsibility, higher vibrational choices and words. So you're just not impulsively having knee-jerk reactions or impulsively putting yourself in situations that maybe you shouldn't put yourself in because you didn't think things through. Mm. And words. How are we communicating?
Right.
You know,
right.
Not being so quick to snap at somebody, dismiss them. You know, if this is the process of recognizing your inner being, which I think this is, or this is a big part of that, then conversely, we need to recognize and understand that everybody else has an inner being too that they're working on.
Right.
So it's like recognition, inner being to inner being, but it's unconditional. It doesn't matter how aware anybody else is in your field, is that it's enough that you are aware. So I'm like, wow, this message is perfect. So I would love to hear your take on the number, because I looked it up, but I would love to hear it from, you know, because you're the boss. You're the boss of the numbers. The numbers are the boss of you, of 31.
Well, the cool part about it is you pretty much broke it down just with those components. You know, the three being, we talked about words, but three having to do with communication and expression, and also just the flow of energy. It is what you put out. You know, so whatever, when you say, yeah, what you put out, it's what you're putting out is also what is inside of you. Mm-hmm. So as a generator, then that's where the number one comes in, that the individual and also the idea was that takes a direction. The three just wants to spread it out, you know.
Mm.
The three also doesn't tend to think about how it is reflected back to itself. So the allowing part of that is it's inherent. You know, a three is made up of a one and a two. So there's a self, and then there's an other. and then it's like another place for it to go. And that's where you get this three energy. But the two is also very receptive. So the inherent in that three is a not only an ability but a necessity for understanding energy, that it's an outflow and an inflow always.
Right.
And when you find things out of balance is when you realize, man, I'm really just empty. I'm just putting so much out. So it's not that someone's sucking it out of you. It could be that's part of it. But part of it is also, what are you able to receive? What are you getting back in? And we tend to go in one direction, and it tends to be outward versus allowing for something to come in. And part of it's because we don't always trust it. Like we think, oh, we got to keep our guard up and we got to, you know, be vigilant and, you know, be strong and all of that. But so much is still coming through, but then your big part of that is the awareness part. So self-awareness completes this awareness, you know, self-awareness is like the epitome of the awareness part. So you can't just be aware and not be aware of yourself.
Right.
It's like a double veil. Like, oh, I'll just forget everything. But this awareness allows you to start to notice those little nuances of, you know, maybe when you are putting a barrier up, or when you have relaxed and released a little bit to say, oh, you know, thank you. Just allow something in. Sometimes those little moments become so profound because of it.
Mm-hmm.
And even in those profound moments, you start to realize how much you've been holding on to something or blocking out something. Usually it's one and the same. And that softening is just enough to allow for it to be, to do more of it and to allow more in that practice of it. So it's like finally taking a breath after you've been holding your breath for so long.
Wow.
When you've been holding your breath and you finally release it, and you have to, and then because it's involuntary, you have to then refill. You have to breathe in.
Right.
It's that feeling of, man, I didn't realize I was even holding my breath. I didn't realize my shoulders were so tight. I didn't realize how shallow I was breathing. You know, all those things start to click when you are aware and you feel it. It's not just a mental thing. You feel it in your body. You feel what that was like, and you start to relax. And then you go beyond that. You start to think, well, why was I so tense? You know, what was that all about? Have I really been tense since I was, you know, 12 years old, or, you know, whatever? You know,
since I was in the womb? Yeah.
Right.
Since I was conceived. Oh, yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. That egg, oof.
Yeah. So
the egg's depressed.
Like, whew. There are a lot of tight spaces in there. I guess I had to, you know, bunch up. But it's so that's, again, so then you see how this energy flows, how it flows. And your awareness of it is how you end up manipulating that energy. So,
yep.
Great message.
Yeah. I'm like, damn. Okay.
And nice number sequence. You know?
Yep.
And you know, the flip of that is 13, you know, where people think of 13 being an unlucky number.
Right.
But it, you know, it's just a different flow. You know, it goes from a 1 to a 3. Where, you know, so 13 can be a lot of, I guess, trials and tribulations, because it comes from self and it spreads out and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, now what's happening? So the opposite, it's not like the opposite necessarily, but because the direction flow is different, it's energy going back in.
Right.
And then you add that up and it's a 4. So there's still a pattern. There's a structure to it.
Mm-hmm,
there are steps you need to take.
Right.
And there's a process to it. And you always have to honor the process. And, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's a 13 or a 31. The steps are, well, someone say it does matter, but I think your level of awareness helps to alleviate or at least make sense of the flow of energy. And
oh, it's all about awareness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. the awareness is, and that's why I love this message so much, because it really shows that's doing the work.
Right.
Doing the work is being aware. So, and not being damaged or victimized, but aware to move through, to recognize patterns, recognize when those patterns are being interrupted, and then recognize when new patterns, higher vibrational patterns are being formed and practiced. So that's what all of this is about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Right.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, good
Amen.
For you for picking a message for yourself.
I know. I never do it. Never do it. Yeah. Maybe this is the third time in my life, and I've had this for how many years? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but I was just in that, just knowing, like, that contrast, you know, and contrast is Abraham Hicks refers to it as a clarifying incident, a clarifying event, a moment of clarification where, okay, I want to move past this. I want to shift into a better feeling state.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, awareness is everything. But it's doing the work.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And Carl Jung said, you know, you don't get to consciousness without pain.
Mm.
But pain, you know, could be contrast.
Right.
That's
right.
The contrast serves that purpose for clarity and expansion.
That's
so
true. That's
yeah,
true.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, and thank goodness, clearly it's not my mom's time yet. But this is, I look at her having these heart issues. It's no surprise it's the heart. My mother's heart was broke. My mother's heart was broken from, being the product of, I know very little about her past. I mean, I started finding out things when I was 18. She never said anything. But
wow.
Having a very, very painful past, she was the product of an affair, a scandalous affair, and was born in another country, but was deposited into a boarding school. And I know, this is all I know, in New Orleans when she was 5 years old.
That's crazy.
Yeah, crazy. And I know very, very little about my maternal grandmother, but what I do know, I love, and I'll tell you why. I don't know if she was ever married, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Very kind of had a sense of style to her, and elegance, even though, you know, she was a struggling young woman. Little threads, little shards of information that I'm sure if I asked my mother, she would say, I never said that. But I remember hearing these things and being fascinated. Never married, kind of glamorous, would give readings. Is that interesting? I don't know what kind of readings, but would give readings.
Mm.
And she liked black men. Check, 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 check. I'm like, yes. Yes, girl. Yes, girl, work. Yes. I'm like, oh. So, but I know there, and I've seen like photographs and really, really beautiful, but I know my mother's past is shrouded in so much mystery, and I mean, my heart goes for how she just always has had this, and she still does, has this inner resolve and inner strength. And it's interesting because my mother always came across really prim and proper. Mm. And I think, of course, so it's the complete antithesis. And she, grew up with nuns. And then she was, in and out of one place or another, back and forth from the States to Panama, but ended up in the States permanently, I think, from the age, let's maybe senior in high school.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right?
Wow.
Right. But pretty much abandoned. Hello, abandonment issues. Hello, party of me. Yeah. Yeah. And got entranced in my father's web probably at about age 19. And I did the math, and he knocked her up with my sister.
Wow.
Yep. So, again, it's like I had to, stitch together a very loose narrative. But we used to joke and say my mother should have been, the mother superior at a convent, because that's how she used to act. Like an old school nun that, she got the yardstick in her hand. So don't get too close. And she was very much like that. And it really, and look, such a good mother in terms of, all your needs, and you had everything, and you were well-dressed and well-fed and all of that. Emotionally, not so much, but I so understand all this. It was painful as growing up. It was painful as a teenager and into my 20s. And then it really wasn't until my marriage was falling apart that I got that part of the mothering, because she was capable,
right.
and that's really what I needed. So now we're good. But what's interesting is, I am still communicating with. I have to call him 2.0 still, because he has the same
right,
name
right.
as my ex-husband, and I've got to come up with a name because that's so jacked up. But anyway, I still yet that name has yet to leave my lips in relationship to this new person. I've only seen him those two times in January. Haven't seen him yet, but we're in communication, and I'm sure sometime this month he's had a lot of crazy things going on as I have, but I'm sure sometime this month I'll have something fun to report on. But I bring him up because he remembers when I'm 18, 19, 20 years old, okay, because that's when we hung out, being so devastated about my relationship with my mother, right? So it was so nice when I said, oh, my mom's doing so good, and he lost his mom, like in the early 90s. And I remember his mother, which is crazy, from 100 years ago. And he's like, well, I'm so happy to hear that, because I remember how much that really affected you from before. And I'm like, yeah, it's amazing how, I got that beautiful parenting. So it's never too late. Clearly, it's never too late for anything. This person's talking to me from like 428 years ago, so what the hell. And this situation is rolling out on its own frequency. And I also notice that another kind of pattern interrupt took place. And I was joking with my girlfriend about it, because when the marriage was falling apart and I finally got divorced, I really hung up my dancing shoes. I was done. And about a year and a half into the divorce, I was minding my own business, and I got asked out by a car service driver.
Yeah.
Like, why not? Yeah, and that was everything. And I thank him. Thank him for being the gateway drug. Then I go on this merry-go-round of, oh, either meeting people the old-fashioned way or going on the apps with kind of a combo. And I counted. I started laughing. I counted. Now, I only met a handful, but I counted. And in 13 months, I was communicating in one shape or form or another, I think including this latest one from my past, I counted like 10 or 11 guys. I'm like, you are just a little pig. You need to go to the methadone clinic. What are you doing? So I realized, and again, I did not meet most of them. I did not meet. I did meet a handful of them.
Yeah.
And even if I met a handful of them, doesn't mean that things happened. It could have
right.
been. I remember I had carrot cake and coffee. I really wanted carrot cake. I had carrot cake. Now I want carrot cake.
I love carrot cake.
Right. See, look at us. So we need to go see the Northern Lights while we have a piece of carrot cake and we listen to cello music. Look at see, look at what
right.
we love. Look at what we love, you and me. We're so different, but we're not. Look at me, what we love. So, yeah. So it could have been as innocent as a, you know, an initial meeting that didn't go anywhere, but it was pleasant enough. Okay, innocent, innocent, innocent. Yeah, I only got busy with two out of the 10 or 11. So that's not, and I had to because I didn't know what I was, I did not know. She had to learn how to walk again. She did not know how to walk. So that's, I needed to learn how to walk. But I realized my brain patterning was being used to, having a situation like that that was warranting that kind of outside attention. Then when I was going through the shock of why am I grieving so hard? It's been 26 years since my daughter passed away. And I realized I never stopped to really grieve because this is the first time I've actually slowed down in my entire life. Taken my time in my entire life. So I realize that trapped grief was seeking attention. It needed to come out. So that's why I was getting so used to that sort of patterning and that sort of attention. And I thought it was so interesting that when I shut it down with the last person before this new old person, so he's a new old person because I knew him from 100 years ago, this new old person, when I shut it down and I'm like, you know what, I'm really kind of done. I need to go to the methadone clinic. Okay, I'm going to go cold turkey because now I really know. If I can read for other people, I have to own to the fact that I can read for myself, right? This is you got to interrupt this pattern because everything that you needed to gain from these experiences, from these men that you, from each interaction, even if it was just texting for one day and then you're done or whatever, from the full spectrum, now you are capable to navigate this world as a fully alive, middle-aged woman that's still not totally done and still not hanging up her dancing shoes. Now it's time to break that pattern. 24 hours later, I get the message from new old guy, whatever you want to call him. Now, what I didn't realize, so this is where the junky addictive part comes. What I didn't realize, so I was like, well, okay, now I'm just going to divert my energies and my attention to, you know, constant distraction or attention. And what happens is, and this is why people get addicted to dating and addicted to the apps and all of this, because I do my research. I really explore and learn and understand is that, first of all, it's a primal need, human connection. So, and we're all losing our minds because of COVID. And also because of COVID, there are way fewer distractions or fewer things to do. Mm-hmm. And this is why pre-COVID it wasn't that big of a deal, because I was always going, doing, and seeing friends or going to the theater or going to screenings or working at night, teaching, whatever. So all those things have been compressed into far and few between, and everything is on Zoom for the most part. So, of course, it's that default setting to that distraction. But those distractions in the brain creates hits of dopamine. So anytime I would be interacting with the person, is that dopamine hit, and that was a distraction because we're on lockdown. We can't do anything. So I'm thinking with this new old person, old new whatever, 2.0, I'm thinking, oh, well, this is great. So I'm going to get my, hey, sunshine, like, you know what I used to get? Nope. None of that. None of that. And that's good. And that's really, 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 really good, because this is the pattern breaker. And I knew, talk about self-awareness, which is why I love that message. I knew that, girl, your primary relationship is with you. Mm. And that's why I love that message. So, and that this situation is so different and so special and sacred, because no matter what, there's a friendship there. There's a rekindled friendship there,
right,
that both of us don't want to surrender. We're both so happy that we found each other again in terms of that connection, that friendship. And then anything else, there's no rush. There's
right.
no rush.
Right.
And he's going through so many different things. I'm going through so many different things that by the time we do actually get together, which I'm hopeful it will be before April, that it's going to be just fun. I just want to have
yeah.
fun.
Yeah.
I just want to have fun. Yeah, but the pattern had to be broken, and that I'm taking the driver's seat of being the primary focus, the primary relationship in my life. But I realized, well, no wonder I created a pattern over 13 months. Of course I did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm like, ooh, you better step away. You're a little piggy. You better stop. Yeah. So you can get caught up in that. And not, so I wasn't aware of it. And I think I was so starved with not knowing that, That was like I did my field study. My field study is not complete. You know, I didn't need to whore myself around. You know what I mean? Like to get the same. I could if I wanted to, but I didn't really
right.
need to.
I
just
right.
needed an understanding of what, how one navigates, as a single person today, which is very different from 438 years ago. Very, very different, very different landscape. So I had to get the playbook and understand, you know, that it's that this is how things are. So yeah, and no sooner did I step back than old new person messages me.
Interesting.
Crazy. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm really appreciating the time on my own. I'm really appreciating understanding the big picture. I'm also appreciating the paradox of we have all the time in the world, which is a paradox.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Where's the rush? There's no rush. We're not going anywhere. Where are we going?
Right.
Yeah, we got to take it. Yes. So all of those buried issues that didn't have a place to express, that's doing the work. And that's why I love that message. And I'm happy to have shared it.
Yeah. That's some good stuff.
Yeah. So that's it. And
well,
I saw you had...
Yes,
go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say that I saw on Instagram you had posted. They looked so much fun. Some posts from your business, from the wine tour business.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that?
That
looked like there was a story there.
Oh well, I did. I finally, you know, I have not really been in the mood to post anything either personally or
right
or business wise. So. But yeah, I guess, you know, while we've been talking about this thing, it kind of does segue in, you know, me coming to some realizations about, well, overall patterns, and then it just lends to that level of awareness that we have in whatever situation. And, so for me, I said, well, I do need to post. I do have some photos and some pics of tours that we have done recently, and I needed to get out of my rut. And I feel like I'm still getting out of it, but
of
it's with a different awareness of, you know, obviously my major role in how things are going, and then what I choose to get into now. And it can't be more the same. If I want more the same, I'll just stay the same. But anyway, that's sort of on the side. That was sort of why I posted a couple of pictures from two different tours, but at the same winery, one on a very rainy day, overcast day. And then one on a really sunny day, like one of our rare days when it was actually sunny out. And so they're like probably a month apart, and, you know, wanted to show that, because I had to realize I hadn't really posted anything for the wine tour stuff in a while. I'm like, oh yeah, we're still in business. We're still, you know, we're still doing stuff. So I wanted to post that. And then my friend, who you haven't met yet, but he's one of my best friends from college. He's my wine guy. And so
Munch.
He did a,
I know, I want to meet him.
He did a post, yesterday about, really for Women's History Month, which, I, you know, he's so good about this sort of stuff. He's
oh,
really
we love
good
a man like that.
At posting. So he posted the main photo, which is the future of wine is female. And in his comments or in his caption, he listed several accounts that are women-based accounts.
Nice.
Or women-based businesses that are in the wine industry in the Atlanta area. So,
oh, that's amazing.
So, most of them, are, I guess, bloggers, perhaps. They could be doing more. I don't know. I just started to follow all of them through Georgia Wine Tours, but I thought that was really sweet of him to do.
Yes.
And so I reposted, because, you know, and I put it on my highlights. I figured, okay, I'll go ahead and do that. On the Georgia Wine Tour site, because I thought that was just like, I that's the sort of stuff I just, that's one more thing I just can't think about.
Girl,
I there's things that I enjoy doing. I enjoy posting for my own, you know,
right,
amusement. But I don't always think about, you know, like, what is it, International Red Wine Day? Because sometimes that is. I'm like,
right,
well, you know, I know half this stuff is made up, like Valentine's Day, whatever. We'll make it
right
up.
Every day's a day.
Every day's a day, right. And I have another friend of mine who knows every dessert day. Like, every day is some type of dessert day. And she's happy, you know, National Oreo Cookie Day, or whatever it is.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, yeah, this is...
Happy Creme Brulee Day!
Right. Well, you know, I'm sure there's a day for that, too. Like, there's saint
creme
days.
Creme Brulee.
So for Catholics, like, there's saint days.
Right.
But, you know, for some people, there's, like, an international or national, you know,
right,
dessert day.
Right.
So I'm taking a another look at what do I want to get myself into? How am I, you know, how am I going to express this to people who are somewhat invested or, you know, to some degree want to be involved in a new iteration of a business?
Right.
And, you know, I don't think I had a good conversation with Anna the other day. We finally met. And I just had a really good conversation because some things were weighing on my mind, and I'm realizing that, you know, I have a lot more power than I have even realized.
Girl. Yes.
And it's not about being nice, but it is about recognizing things that I need to have. If I'm going to create something or recreate something or start something new,
yeah,
and I'm going to bring people on, I need to know what they're bringing.
Absolutely.
And as much as, you know, like I can appreciate a good delegator.
Yep.
And there are some people who are really good delegators, but then at some point the actual doing has to get done.
Absolutely. A doer and a delegator is a nice combo. Right.
It is. However, if one person is always a doer,
No, it has to be balanced. It has to be. We don't play. It has to be fair.
So that's what I'm looking at. And so you know, I've done a little bit of journaling, and just in bigger, you know, bigger patterns, not just with work, but just seeing, like, even with you talking earlier, I was taking some notes on what was coming up for me, and
mm-hmm.
you know, this idea, and it's something that's sort of like a recurring theme when we talk about
uh-huh.
pattern breaking. But for my
right.
life in particular, the things that I always seem to come up with is that, you know, my life is not going to be like everyone else's, and that's such a blanket statement. But even
right.
the things that I've done or not done, we're talking about in comparison to what most people are doing, you know, it's I've just decided that, you know, for whatever reason, whether because it's the timing isn't working out the way it needs to or the way that I think it would to be in the same mix with what everyone else is doing, like up to a
mm-hmm.
point, up to like maybe college and then after
mm-hmm.
college, like, no, you're not really going to be following what you would think
right.
of as your role models or your peers, because it's just not in the cards. Like, you've got other stuff that you're going to be paying attention to.
Mm-hmm.
And even, you know, even with this, you know, when it looks like, gosh, you know, like I need to get my stuff together, and I need to be able to do this. And even as much as I would want for that to happen,
that's a pressure though.
Yeah, it's still mm-hmm. not quite, like, it's not lining up.
Well, because vibrationally, it's not feeling so good.
Right. Right. So being able to release that, like, that's the hardest part, is releasing
yes.
what you think ought to be done.
But that's the pattern that you're understanding that needs to be interrupted is the boulder on your chest saying, I'm not getting anything done, and I should just get things done, and I'm not. And it's just that whole imposition, that whole pressure of, if you look at what needs to be done in the same way that you would look at errands,
mm-hmm.
then you don't have that stigma where if you had to drop things off the dry cleaners because you need that outfit ready for something important, you would just do it. So if you look at, okay, in terms of the business, you know, to make lists or organize it or something, sometimes just organizing what needs to be done so that it's in bite-sized pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put everything in my calendar. And if it doesn't get done that day, I move it to the next day, or I'll do repeat every day. So I see it every day. Like for my
mm-hmm.
taxes, I have prep taxes. I have it repeating every day because I know and before it's too late, I will have my taxes prepped.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to beat myself up because I didn't do it on Tuesday? No, because I know it's in the calendar for Wednesday, and I know that I'm going to create the space, and doing it won't be nearly as burdensome as thinking about it.
Right.
So I do these little tricks because life has a lot of moving parts, you know, and also too, I have my two sons living with me also. So like if somebody needs a dentist appointment, like, okay, put it in there. Maybe it's going to take you 2 weeks to get to it, but I see it every day in the calendar and it doesn't bother me. It's like, okay, gentle reminder. So mm-hmm. maybe if you look at it as gentle reminders as opposed to seeing lack because you didn't do it. I don't know. But it's just a pattern interrupt because we unconsciously become addicted to that pattern, and then it's that shifting, which is why it feels like we're going cold turkey because we're mm-hmm. so used to that pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And with all the ancestral stuff and all the family stuff and all the things that impact and affect you, you know. And I thought it was interesting, too, because I didn't mention this the last time, but when I had to deal with my mom being in the hospital, I guess that was a week ago today that all that shit happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I told you I listened to the show, and I thought it was very interesting that Anna saw your estranged brother.
Yeah.
So there, you know what I'm saying? So there are things that we're not even aware of that affect us. So, and this might be a little lowest dipping in here right now because I'm feeling kind of little energy going on. There might be a connection between whatever is not going on or going on with your estranged brother and you moving forward with things.
Mm.
That wouldn't come from me. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of her whispering in my ear a little bit.
Mm.
Does that make any kind of sense to you?
No, but, you know.
It's interesting. No, because it doesn't to me either, but it's interesting because that just came in.
Mm.
Very interesting. And how many years has it been that you guys aren't really in, right? Not really communicating the way you used to? Like, when did that pattern break?
Ooh, like, it's probably been 4 years.
4 years. Okay.
4 or 5 years. Yeah.
Okay, so let's say 4 or 5 years. Okay, now if you look back 4 or 5 years ago, with the business, what was going on about 4 or 5 years ago with the wine business?
Gosh, I was still fairly new in the role that I was in, I think.
Mm.
I think.
Okay.
Because I think I took over that in like the end of 2014, maybe. So.
Right.
So then I would have been like a year or two into it.
Right, and the dynamic in terms of because there's like another party involved, right? That who initially started the business, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Right.
So in the whole thing about delegation and the whole thing about doing everything and somebody's delegating, somebody's doing everything, and you don't want that. Wasn't that sort of the dynamic that emerged? That you were doing everything?
Well, with the wine business, yeah, because that was the whole point, was that she wanted someone to take over.
Right. And in taking over, did you feel like it was, like the communication was good or that?
Well, we had very limited communication anyway.
Well, interesting. I don't mean to interrupt, but there's limited communication with your brother.
Yeah, you know, when I took over as operations manager, there was definitely a learning curve to be on that side of things. And then also to realize what parts of the business weren't set up that I had assumed would have been set up.
Mm-hmm.
So having to fill in those gaps and,
right.
You know, so there's a lot of like, you know, we definitely weren't on the same page.
Right.
And, you know, I was looking at it from a point of, you know, risk and safety that,
mm-hmm.
you know, for other people involved and myself involved, you know, like for the
sure.
business.
Sure.
So, you know, trying to get those things set up.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a while, like I didn't really rely on her for
mm-hmm.
for a lot of the other like business related things because she's not
right.
here. She's not,
right.
you know, she doesn't
right.
know much, anything new about the wineries and
right.
a lot of the wineries, what she wouldn't have even known about that have opened up since then.
Right.
So she's not there.
Your
so,
brother's
yeah.
not there.
Right.
So limited. So yeah. So low is, cause I would have never made this correlation ever, but isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So you're on your
yeah.
own. You're not getting clear communication. You're imagining things because you're left to your own device. So of course, you don't want to repeat that pattern, right?
Right.
I'm sure it's painful to be estranged from a sibling. Maybe not. You know, I have been off and on estranged, not really lately, but early in life, and it didn't bother me at all to be estranged because
mm-hmm.
I whatever. But we were never really close, so. And we're still not. We're just very kind because we share my mom. But other than that, I'd have nothing to do with these people. I hate to
mm-hmm.
I hate to say that. Maybe my brother because he's cool, but whatever. I mean, but they're nice people. But that's neither here nor there. So now, when you're seeing a new opportunity, that I think that's why you're feeling. The way that you're feeling about taking action, because there's a part of you trying to protect yourself from not going back into that place of being by yourself, not getting the proper communication that you need, that a business
mm-hmm.
needs.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what I think it's displaced energy. So it's not like you're not incapable of getting things done. You know, that's clearly not the case. But I think there's like a unconscious sense of self-protection. Because of what's come before.
Right.
Where it has come to in previous relationships, whether it's your estranged brother, whether it's ex-girlfriends, what communication has always been a thing where you're like left in the dark and then you've gotten blindsided. I don't know that for a fact. I'm just getting that energetically.
Yeah.
Is that because I'm getting that energy. Okay. And with Lois, it was nothing but pure pristine. You could always get, if something needed to be done for Lois, you didn't go through this whole thing of, oh, I don't know, I gotta. No, you did it.
Right.
Right? She wants you to look at that contrast so that this is a clarifying, so there's nothing, she really wants you to know, like, Alisa, you're beyond capable. This is not about capacity. But you're at capacity with no longer accepting being in the dark where it comes to limited communication.
Right.
That's where you want your pattern interrupt. This is the pattern interrupt. And that's why that resistance to doing and moving forward, that's the only way unconsciously that you need to protect yourself to not get into, to not paint yourself into a corner because you're wise enough and mature enough now at this stage of your life, like I'm not gonna go through this. And that could also be a big part of an ancestral lineage of not having a voice.
Oh, that's definitely a part of it. I already know that.
Yeah, I know that. Right. But I say that because it ties everything all together.
Right.
Of what just came in. But that's all Lois. She's like, tell her. I'm like, okay. Yeah. I got you, Chief. Yeah. Is that making any sense at all?
Oh, it is because I, you know, I'm looking at, you know, not even, you know, all of it, but well, I would say definitely the business because that's my livelihood, you know, even if we're not,
of course.
You know, we're not that busy.
Doesn't matter. It's your gig.
Hello? I know. I'm just saying that. Yes. I'm just saying that that's because that tends to be what I look at this time of year because we tend to not be busy. Then I get, you know, a driver who just did a tour for me this past weekend, and she's like, oh, one of the tour groups is like they're slammed. They're always busy. I'm like, yeah, you know, but I also know they have a different model. And so I'm looking at all those things and I'm looking at, you know, all the things that I need to do. I write what I already do because I'm looking at, you know, what am I bringing to the table here? And then
you're bringing a lot.
What is, you know, this other person who wants to be a partner? I'm like, you know, I just, you know, I kind of went into it like I'd always do, like, oh, okay, where's someone who wants to help? And then I'm starting to realize, what are you actually doing that will help me? Because I'm already running a business. Like, what are you doing?
Because sometimes you want to be nice, and it's like, wait a minute, and I've done that.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think this person has a place. I just don't think it's going to be a 50-50 type of thing.
God, no. No, that would be really unfair to you.
Yeah. So, you know, I've got to, like you said, like there's that communication part, and I know it's a conversation we're going to have. We sort of had the beginnings of it, last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sort of, you know, after having another conversation with Anna,
mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, I need to be clearer about what it is I need to be doing, because I could still continue running a new business on my own, you know.
Right. And look at this, and look at the not going forward, you know, going forward as like a blessing.
Right.
It's a blessing. That was you took the resources that you had consciously, unconsciously, that's protecting you. What if you just signed a whole bunch of documents and you did all these steps? I mean, it's so much to launch something.
Mm.
No, that's like, you know, somebody, you know, on a drunk night. Oh, let's go to Vegas to elope, and the car broke down. Thank God.
Right.
Thank God. We could have gone to the drive-through like wedding chapel. You know, when Britney Spears married her friend from high school, and it's like, oh, right. Oops, I did it again.
Right.
Free Britney, poor thing. Right. So, yeah. So look at all of that, like, oh, what a relief. And if you feel relief as opposed to, you know, guilt or frustration against yourself, that's self-attack. So if we level up self-attack with relief, let's just do that right now. Just take a breath. Just keep breathing. And let's just superimpose the energy of relief over that self-attack. And that self-attack, or just throw that self-attack out the window. Oh, bye, self-attack, bye. Let's just breathe and release. Self-protection is an act of self-love. So all of this delay, procrastination, however you want to call it, that was self-protection. You are actually loving yourself into clarity.
Right.
Clean slate, new day, because it takes work to interrupt a lifelong pattern. So I've had this pattern of self-neglect my whole life, and if it wasn't for Corona, I would not be doing the work to address that. Thank you, Corona. And to reset. And Lois wants me to ask you before we say goodbye, going on with the meditation.
She's caught me. Yeah, no meditation.
Yeah, she caught you busted. Isn't that funny? See? I love it. Yeah. So we'll just leave it there. We'll leave it there. And then when we talk on Thursday, maybe you'll give us a meditation update. Even if you just do 5 minutes, because that lowers your resistance and puts you more into the receptive mode, even if it's just 5 minutes a day, stilling the mind. But she's like, I'm watching. We'll leave it there. Very funny. I love
great.
It. Interesting. Yeah. So how do you feel now?
Oh, I always feel good. I do feel good.
But
smiling.
Doing a show, always, no matter what we talk about or who calls, it's always great.
Yeah.
And that's why we still do it. Yay. All right. This is a very interesting conversation, so I love it. So if you guys need to, that was funny. She came in. And who knew that with your I never did, with your whole brother, who knew? But, like, all those things could be healed. It's like one-stop shopping, you know? It's not isolated or fragmented. It's whole. It's synergistic. It's a whole organism. You are a whole organism. So loving all those parts of yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, you're protecting yourself. You're loving yourself.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful. And with that, then you can do anything. I love it. So if you guys need to get a hold of us, you can email loablend@gmail.com. We're scheduled to be back on the air this coming Thursday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Wear your mask, and if you don't like that, please don't listen to our show. And even better, don't call in. Don't call us.
Just
wear your mask.
Put it all out there, why don't you?
What? You know what? I don't care. Say something. Wear your mask. Stay safe, take care of yourselves and each other, and as always, let the light do the work and to brighter days ahead. Love you guys. Stay safe. Take care. Bye. Bye.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.